Hello and welcome to Sound Body, a weekly program of information on health topics and ideas that can help you live life to its fullest. I'm Louise Craig. To screen or not to screen? It seems like it still comes down to what information you and your doctor want to pay attention to. And I suppose it depends on knowing what kind of a person you are. Will you be likely to get treatment if you get a bad PSA number? Will you demand treatment? Or do you have the kind of temperament that you can wait and see, actively surveilling your numbers and symptoms? Do you want someone else to make the decision for you? Or will you spend hours and days researching in order to come up with the decision yourself? I hope that our reading today about prostate cancer screening gives you some idea about where things are currently in the world of prostate cancer research and treatment, should you have to make some decisions. We're going to start with a general overview of prostate cancer screening and then learn a little bit about prostate cancer symptoms. And this comes from Harvard Health Beat of August 2017 and is titled, Does Prostate Cancer Screening Matter? An annual prostate-specific antigen, PSA test, to check for signs of possible prostate cancer sounds innocent enough, but new guidelines suggest the test offers few long-term benefits and substantial possible harm. The updated guidelines from the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force, USPSTF, published online April 11, 2017, by the Journal of the American Medical Association, reinforce the organization's 2012 conclusion that PSA screenings have only a small potential benefit for reducing the chance of dying of prostate cancer for men ages 55 to 69, while exposing them to possible over-treatment and side effects from biopsies, radiation, and surgery. Today, as was the case in 2012, the ability to show an overall survival benefit from any screening recommendation still eludes us, and the cancer-specific survival benefit, if one exists at all, is at best very modest, says Dr. Mark Garnick of Harvard-affiliated Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. In 2012, the USPSTF gave PSA-based screening for prostate cancer a grade of D and recommended against routine testing for all men. The poor grade was based on evidence that only about one man in 1,000 who underwent screening would avoid death from prostate cancer. In fact, if a 55-year-old man chooses not to get screened, his chance of dying from prostate cancer over the next 10 to 15 years is about 0.6%. If he does choose to be screened, he reduces his chance of dying from the cancer to only 0.5%. The 2012 report also found that almost 90% of men with PSA-detected prostate cancer received treatment, such as surgery, radiation, or androgen deprivation therapy, and 75% of this group experience harmful side effects like impotence and incontinence. The new guidelines also repeated the 2012 recommendation that men ages 70 and older should skip PSA screenings altogether, as evidence shows that when they develop prostate cancer, it tends to be slow growing, and the 10-year survival rate is quite high. Odds are these men will die from something other than prostate cancer, says Dr. Garnick. The updated guidelines echoed the suggestions from the 2012 report, but screening was given a slightly higher overall grade of C for men 55 to 69. Why the change? This was in response to the greater use of active surveillance, in which men diagnosed with lower-risk prostate cancer delayed treatment and thus avoided side effects. In 2012, if you were diagnosed with prostate cancer, you were almost certain to receive treatment. Now, the cancer is more likely to be observed, says Dr. Garnick. Other research confirms the new guidelines assessment of risk versus reward. A study published online December 1, 2016 by Cancer screened 76,685 men for various cancers, including prostate cancer. to see if yearly screening saved lives by finding the disease early. The 15-year follow-up found little difference in death rates between men screened annually and those in the control group who were screened occasionally. The researchers also noted that men with PSA lower than 1 have only about 0.5% chance of being diagnosed with prostate cancer within 10 years. Does that mean you should always avoid PSA testing? Not necessarily, as prostate cancer is still responsible for 30,000 deaths per year. Dr. Garnick says that further research is needed to see if testing may benefit high-risk men, such as African Americans and those with a first-generation relative who's had the disease, like a father, uncle, or brother. For these men, while many would recommend screening, there is no solid evidence that there are any meaningful benefits as a result of screening, he says. Still, the results of a PSA test can lead even high-risk men down a slippery slope, and they should proceed with caution, says Dr. Garnick. The emotional aspect of diagnosis can cause men to make poor decisions. In fact, a study in the February 2017 Journal of Urology found that the stress and anxiety of a prostate cancer diagnosis often pushes men to choose aggressive or unnecessary treatments like radiation or surgery. The decision to have prostate cancer screening is never simple. It is a personal choice that depends on many factors like age, degree of risk, and family history. Have an in-depth talk with your doctor about all your options, says Dr. Garnick. The more information you have, the better you can make an informed decision about PSA testing. And we move now to the Billings Gazette. This was published on September 20th, 2017, and is not attributed to a writer. Although 1 in 7 men will eventually be diagnosed with prostate cancer in his lifetime, the warning signs of the disease are often vague and may be confused with other conditions, experts at Fox Chase Cancer Center say. Prostate cancer can be serious, but it's often not fatal. Men should talk to their doctor about the risks and benefits of getting screened for the disease, advised Dr. Alexander Kudakov, chief of the Division of Urologic Oncology at Fox Chase in Philadelphia. Considering how often prostate cancer occurs in men, every man should familiarize himself with its signs and risk factors, Kudakov said in a Center news release. Yet not all men should be screened for prostate cancer. Ultimately, the decision to get screened needs to be weighed in terms of the advantages and disadvantages of screening. Men should familiarize themselves with the trade-offs of prostate cancer screening and discuss both their risk factors and personal preferences with a provider whom they trust, he said. Prostate cancer symptoms may be confused with signs of other common but non-cancerous disorders, such as benign prostatic hyperplasia, Kudakov said. Symptoms of prostate cancer may include trouble starting to urinate, weak or interrupted flow of urine, urinating more often, particularly during the night, trouble emptying the bladder, pain or burning during urination, bloody urine or semen, painful ejaculation, chronic pain in the back, hips, or pelvis. Some men are at greater risk for prostate cancer. Those who are older are more likely to be diagnosed with the disease. Prostate cancer is rare in men younger than 40 years old, but once they reach 50, the risk increases. Nearly 6 out of 10 men with prostate cancer are older than 65 years old, the Fox Chase specialist said. Black men are more likely than men of other races and ethnicities to be diagnosed with prostate cancer and die from the disease, Kudakov said. Black men are also more likely to develop advanced disease and have the condition at a younger age, he said. Genetics may also play a role in why some men develop prostate cancer, Kudakov added. Men whose father or brother have the disease are more than twice as likely to also be diagnosed, he said. The risk increases if several family members are affected and if these men were diagnosed at a younger age. Men who are 55 and older should discuss their risk factors for prostate cancer with their doctor and determine if screening is right for them. I encourage patients to educate themselves about the issue of screening, as it is quite complex, said Kudakoff. There was a bit of a kerfuffle over an analysis of two influential studies of prostate cancer screening. Recently, recommendations have been against doing routine PSA screening, but this new analysis suggests that recommendation should be rethought. I was also interested in reading an article from a health journalism watchdog, Health News Review, that graded this article, which was a Stat News article about the analysis and possible change in recommendation. So we will read these two articles back to back. The first, of course, from Stat News and written by Sharon Begley. This was published on September 4th, 2017, and is titled A New Study Claims Prostate Cancer Screenings Significantly Reduce Deaths. Not everyone agrees. An analysis of two influential studies of prostate cancer screening concludes that the much-debated test significantly reduces deaths from the disease, suggesting that current recommendations against routine PSA screening might be steering men away from a life-saving procedure. The analysis, published Monday in Annals of Internal Medicine, drew wildly different reactions, as is often the case with research on PSA screenings. Some experts in cancer screening and statistics said its novel approach was on shaky ground and used a completely unverifiable methodology that they had never seen before. But others praised its intriguing and innovative approach. There was one area of agreement, however. I imagine it's going to generate some buzz, said biostatistician Ted Karrison of the University of Chicago. If the new analysis is correct, one of the influential PSA studies, called PLCO, reduced deaths from prostate cancer by 27% to 32%, not the 0% that PLCO researchers themselves found. For a man in the U.S., the risk of dying of prostate cancer is about 2.5%. A mortality reduction of 30% would lower the death rate to 1.75%, said epidemiologist Ruth Etzioni of Fred Hutchison Cancer Research Center, the study's senior author. If a screening test reduces cancer mortality by 20%, it's considered a successful test, Etzioni said. I think the prostate cancer mortality reduction we calculate is a significant benefit. This is a screening test that saves lives. Those gains come at some cost to health, though. For every life saved, she estimated five men will be told they have cancer, when in fact their abnormal cells would never grow, spread, or harm them. In other estimates, such overdiagnoses outnumber lives saved by 50 to 1. The new study lands amid another shift in how experts view PSA screening, which measures blood levels of a molecule sometimes associated with prostate cancer. In 2012, the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force, whose recommendations help determine the procedures that insurance should cover, recommended against routine PSA tests because of their many risks and tiny benefits. Among other drawbacks, the tests lead to overdiagnosis, meaning a biopsy finds malignant cells, but they are so innocuous they would never harm, let alone kill, the man, as well as incontinence and impotence from treatment, including of harmless cancers. In April, however, the task force proposed instead that men aged 55 to 69 discuss PSA's pros and cons with their doctor and then decide what to do, factoring in that if 1,000 men get regular PSA screening for a decade, it will save about one life. Older and younger men are still advised not to have routine screening. The rationale for the reanalysis led by Etzioni is that the PLCO study was a bit of a mess. It assigned half of its nearly 77,000 participants, men ages 55 to 74, to have yearly PSA tests and the other half to not do so. But 46% of the men in the no PSA group had yearly PSAs anyway. As a result, When researchers counted deaths in each group, it wasn't a clean comparison. Rather than comparing screened to unscreened men, they were comparing assigned to screening men to not assigned to screening men. The finding that assigned to screening men were no more likely to avoid death from prostate cancer might therefore have been because their screening behavior wasn't different enough from the unscreened, but in fact partly screened, men's, not because PSA screening doesn't save lives. In an effort to untangle that possibility, Etzioni and 21 co-authors from 10 countries created multiple mathematical models. They all rely on estimates of lead time, or how much sooner a cancer is detected because of PSA instead of because symptoms are detected. The models incorporated the records of all the PLCO men and ignored which group they'd been assigned to. Bottom line, screened men's cancers were detected earlier than unscreened men's, and more frequent screening advanced detection more. That moved some prostate cancers from too advanced to treat to treatable, reducing prostate cancer mortality by 27% to 32% over 11 years, Etzioni and her colleagues conclude. Researchers not involved in the study weren't convinced. The concern is that men in the no screening group, but who chose to get screened anyway, might differ in important ways from men who stayed with no screening, Karrison said. They might be more health conscious or conscientious, or have other traits associated with longevity. If so, then those traits, not screening, might be responsible for their lower risk of dying from prostate cancer. Two prominent experts in cancer prevention and statistics agreed, but said they did not want to be publicly identified as criticizing the new analysis because some of its authors are colleagues of theirs. Dr. Kenneth Lin of Georgetown University Medical Center, a former staffer at the USPSTF, said crediting PSA tests with reducing prostate cancer mortality by around 30% was probably an overstatement, especially since mathematical models are only models. An earlier one for the PLCO study concluded that more men died in its screening group than in the don't get screened group. Models are models, Lin said. No matter how sophisticated, they shouldn't trump data from real people who participated in the randomized trials, which in PLCO found zero lives saved from PSA screening. A researcher associated with the Preventive Services Task Force, but who was not permitted to speak to reporters while the group was finalizing its PSA recommendation, said the panel would incorporate the new paper in its analysis. But honestly, he said, I don't know that this adds a great deal to our understanding. And here now is the report, the article from the Watchdog, the Health News Journalism Watchdog Health News Review, published also September 7th, 2017. And the reviewers were Alan Castles, Virginia A. Moyer, MD, and Joy Victory. This is titled, Stat Provides Readers with Necessary Details to Make Sense of New PSA Screening Study. This examination of two new mathematical modeling studies on the value of PSA testing accurately nails the problems in interpreting research of this nature and why it is difficult to draw firm conclusions. The reader is left with a broader understanding of different factors that might affect prostate cancer detection, including what is often called the healthy user bias, when those who undergo screening and/or treatments might be a healthier cohort of patients to begin with, and it is that factor, not the decision to undergo screening or treatment, that is the main reason for apparent improved survival. A Los Angeles Times story we reviewed on the same study didn't provide this important context. Why this matters? PSA testing is a highly controversial, polarizing subject whereby those who promote it, as well as those men who have been treated based on raised prostate-specific antigen levels, become evangelists for early detection. Others who examine the randomized trials bring attention to the fact that men who undergo PSA testing are more likely to have their lives drastically altered, suffer the effects of treatment, including urinary incontinence and erectile dysfunction, in exchange for the small likelihood that their lives would be saved. Criteria. And these are the criteria of their review of the STAT article. Does the story adequately discuss the costs of the intervention? Not satisfactory. The lack of any cost information is one flaw to this article, reminding the readers of the costs of PSA screening programs in terms of the huge volume of medical services that it can catalyze, including the costs of the test itself, the drugs, surgeries, urology consultations, hospital and operating time, as well as the lost income for men who are recovering from treatment, is a necessary part of the story. Does the story adequately quantify the benefits of the treatment test product procedure? Satisfactory. There is good depth here discussing the benefits. Early in the story, it indicates that for a man in the U.S., the risk of dying of prostate cancer is about 2.5%. A mortality reduction of 30% would lower the death rate to 1.75%. Later, this is described in relative terms, saying that more frequent PSA screening moved some prostate cancers from too advanced to treat to treatable, reducing prostate cancer mortality by 27% to 32% over 11 years. Does the story adequately explain or quantify the harms of the intervention? Satisfactory. Drawing from information produced by the USPSTF, the article concluded that the gains in prostate cancer detection come at some cost to health, though. For every life saved, 5 men will be told they have cancer, when in fact their abnormal cells would never grow, spread, or harm them. In other estimates, such overdiagnoses outnumber lives saved by 50 to 1. The one harm that is often overlooked in widely promoted screening programs is the psychological harm that perfectly healthy people may experience when they have had a cancer scare, and that even though their life is unlikely to be saved, the worry, anxiety, depression, and angst do exact a substantial life-altering toll that goes unmeasured. Does the story seem to grasp the quality of the evidence? Satisfactory. This story superbly describes the quality of the evidence, emphasizing that this is not new research, but it is new and controversial mathematical modeling, and that there are a number of biases that can affect the interpretation of the results. This was a much stronger discussion of the evidence compared to the LA Times story we also reviewed. Does the story commit disease mongering? Satisfactory. There are no signs of the common type of disease mongering we sometimes encounter in commentary about PSA testing, where some will take data from one age cohort as proof to suggest that other age cohorts, i.e. younger men, would also benefit from PSA testing. Does the story use independent sources and identify conflicts of interest? Not satisfactory. A wide range of outside voices give this article depth and heft. The inclusion of voices of researchers who chose to remain anonymous reminds us of the very controversial and potentially career-altering aspects of this research. However, as with the Los Angeles Times story, this story didn't note the financial disclosures of the study authors, including the senior author Ruth Etzioni, who disclosed she owns equity in a company developing medical imaging technology that it says could be applied in prostate cancer patients. Dr. Etzioni stated that she does not consider the equity ownership to be a conflict of interest, but considering that an increase in PSA screening would boost demand for more precise and less invasive follow-up testing, it appears that her company would benefit. The study was funded by the National Cancer Institute. While that source does not raise any red flags, and the study stated that the funder had no role in the study, news stories are more informative when they note study funding. Does the story compare the new approach with existing alternatives? Satisfactory. This research is specifically about comparing the value of screening for prostate cancer versus not screening. New biomarkers and variations on the PSA test itself, along with other screening modalities such as digital rectal exam, are not mentioned and were not addressed in the studies that are described. does the story establish the availability of the treatment test product procedure? Satisfactory. It's clear from the article that PSA testing is ubiquitous in America. Mentioning that it is covered by most insurers and for those on Medicaid, Medicare still would have been helpful, however. Does the story establish the true novelty of the approach? Satisfactory. The report of this study establishes correctly how it might expand our view of the value of PSA testing and reminds us that what is novel here is the interpretation of previous research. Does the story appear to rely solely or largely on a news release? Satisfactory. This article clearly goes beyond what would have likely been the contents of a news release, particularly in deeply re-examining the findings from multiple perspectives. And the total score is 8 out of 10. Satisfactory. And we have just a little time here to look at some ways to save on healthcare. And we can pick out a few here. Seek out a screening. If your child's school requires a sport physical, this may start around 7th grade, you might be able to bypass a trip to the pediatrician. Some schools offer physicals in the gym that are performed by medical professionals. Tap urgent care. This is a great alternative to expensive emergency room visits, and you'll often save time, says Karina Lowenthal, a registered dietitian and wellness coach in Rybrook, New York. Urgent care visits are typically much less expensive than ER visits if insurance doesn't cover the cost. A visit for allergies runs about $200 at an urgent care center and about $700 at the ER, according to Medica Choice Network. Hit the hospital for life-threatening symptoms like severe chest pain or a head injury. But for rashes, sprains, flu, and even broken fingers and toes, urgent care is clutch. And these tips on ways to save healthcare are coming from the August 2017 Real Simple magazine. Thank you for tuning in to Sound Body today. Stay well, please, and come back next week for more healthy living ideas. This has been Sound Body, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm Louise Craig, and I hope you'll join me again next week for more health updates and information for healthy living. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.